We're back, the Edge Show at MMS 2012. I managed to corner and snag Michael Leeworthy to come in and to talk about Server 8, Server 2012. Did I have to just put $5 in the name jar all of a sudden,
much,
or what?
Pretty much. So Windows Server 2012 or 2012. As
officially
of this
announced,
morning. Yes,
and now available in use.
Absolutely, yes. We have the $1 jar going. I put a few dollars in myself.
I can see myself probably ending up putting a lot of money in there too. So it's a good thing I carry a lot of American $1 bills. With all the changes that have been happening with Server 8, Server 2012.
There you go, there's a dollar.
There's a buck right there. What's in heaven's name are you going to be able to talk about in this small segment, because there's so much that's changed.
Oh, yeah.
It's like groundbreaking, all the different changes that are in there. So I'll leave it to you. You kind of guide me a little bit for what you would like to talk about for a sweet spot for what's going to impact IT pros with Server 2012.
Absolutely. I mean, there's hundreds of new features, and they're just fantastic. But I think it boils down to two really excellent areas that I'm really excited about.
Okay.
Storage and virtualization.
Okay, so storage. So we're talking about, like, locally attached storage, we're talking about SANs. Like, what's the big deal that's going on with Windows Server 2012?
There you go. So when you're talking about both of them, I mean, there's been investments in both of these areas, you know, really investing in SAN infrastructure to push the boundaries on the way that we use it. So for example, virtual HBA is now within Hyper-V guest.
Okay, yeah.
Offloaded data transfer support. So what took processing power to copy files, now we just use tokens with the ODX SAN environments. You know, what took minutes now takes seconds. And then from a non-SAN environment, we then talk about storage spaces.
Okay, well, I'll lead you right into there. So, because as soon as you start talking storage, to me it's like a black cloaked in secrecy kind of storage environment that the disk admins, the SAN admins have to worry about. So what's changing for the regular IT pro that's going to be using Windows Server?
Storage spaces, I think, is a phenomenal change. And it brings resilient, flexible, SAN-like storage into commodity hardware for the masses.
So it literally will work for organizations of all sizes and all different types of servers.
Absolutely.
So can you show me a little bit quickly here?
Let's do that.
So give me a little demo here talking about these new storage spaces.
Sure. So what you see at the moment is our new Server Manager dashboard. And what our Server Manager does is allows you to do multi-server management within the environment, within your Windows Server environment. Now, Storage Spaces is part of our file and storage services. And Storage Spaces is effectively virtualization of the storage infrastructure. So where before you had direct attached storage, and then you had, you may be utilizing RAID servers or shared servers, the idea of storage spaces is creating storage pools out of all your drive infrastructure and then flexibly attaching virtual disks to that.
Okay.
Let me give you an example of what I mean. So what we do is we create storage pools. And what storage pools are basically a bunch of disks. And these could be disks of anywhere and any size.
So it locally attached or remotely attached?
Well,
yeah,
locally attached to the server.
Okay.
But they could be attached through a RAID system like you see here. They could be attached through USB. They could be directly attached. They could be SSD. They could be multiple different sizes.
Mm-hmm.
Effectively, what I'm going to do is I'm going to quickly create a storage space out of this. So we're going to take a bunch of these disks and join them together into a virtual disk infrastructure.
Okay.
So we'll just call ourselves, if I can spell today. Not doing too well. Okay, and then you can see all the available disks that I have associated with this server.
Okay.
And the good thing also is I've got the ways so I can allocate them. I can say that a disk is reserved. Even though I don't want to allocate it today, I just want to reserve it to ensure I have it. Also, I can allocate it as a hot spare. So if I've got a number of disks in my space and I have a hardware fault, this hot spare will automatically spin up in that environment.
And again, this is irrelevant of the way that they're attached, the control that you're using. You've abstracted all of that.
Absolutely. Good. So in here, we've got, they're all running through a RAID bus, but I could have USB here or internal.
Yep.
It doesn't really matter. So I'm just going to add three disks to this with a total combined space of 410 gigabytes. And you can see this will happen, really quickly. Within a matter of seconds, I'm going to create this, basically this storage pool.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once I've got a storage pool, the next thing I want to do is create a virtual disk. And so this is the first concept of virtualization in the storage. What I'm doing here is creating what I would normally understand as a physical disk infrastructure. So this is where I start building some of that flexibility, resilience, and reliance that I want out of my storage solution. So you can see here, I'm just going to quickly create one. And we'll call this Hyper-V SMB Share.
Ah, you're foreshadowing some stuff show us, I think.
Now, I've got the ability here of resiliency. So what resiliency do you want? Do you just want simple, just use whatever storage is available? Do you want this mirrored over 2 to 3 disks?
Okay.
Or do I want to use parity? So again, I have resiliency inbuilt into my storage space environment. So in this case, I'm just going to use mirroring. And then what provisioning type you have. Now, I know my Hyper-V guys love storage, and they keep asking for more and more storage.
So it's like a closet that my wife has. It always fills up no matter what size you make it.
Oh, absolutely. So we can now do thin provisioning. So the great thing here is I can choose thin provisioning. You know what? I'm going to give the Hyper-V guys 200 terabytes of storage space.
Seriously.
Right? So I hit the create button. Now to them, it will look and feel like 200 terabytes of storage space. We know that that's now thinly provisioned on our system. So we know that we've only got 460 gigabytes of data. But to my storage guys, if I go down here, you can see it looks like 200 terabytes.
I'm assuming you're going to get some warnings as you get closer to that so you're able to expand.
Oh, exactly. And that's a really, that's a really great idea. So let's do that. Let's go and create another virtual disk here. Oh. What we'll do here is create a mirrored environment fixed at this stage, and we might create this at, say, 380 gigabytes.
Okay, so you're actually going to be consuming space this time.
I am. I'm creating that fixed volume.
Okay.
Oh. Sorry, let's do that again. My 200 terabytes is taking up a little bit more than...
A little bit more space than you thought. But the good thing was it did pop up that error message, but it wouldn't let you continue, which is
exactly.
Good. You don't want to be provisioning something and have it not available to the end users when they go off and try to use it.
So we'll use our simple, and then we'll use our 380 gigabytes.
So this is going to simulate the disk being full from the space itself.
Yes.
And then cause us errors or issues on the other guy.
Well, the first thing you see here is now I've moved into a yellow view. So it's telling me I'm using 93% of the storage space. Now, if I use more than 95, it will be red. So we're using that quick glance view.
Yep.
That we built into Windows Phone and also Windows 8 Client.
So you know when you're starting to get into a problem area and you can now go off and start to provision those disks.
Absolutely. Now, the great thing about storage space is I can reprovision my storage on the fly without zero downtime to my end users.
No rebuilding of different arrays, that sort of stuff?
Nothing like that.
Oh, man.
So for example, here I've got my 408 gigabytes.
Yep.
If I want to make that a little bit bigger, all I have to do is add a new physical disk. Click OK. And instantly,
it fixes the space
it's
issue.
It's going to add it. Now, if I'm running out of space in a fixed environment, so this was my virtual disk environment, which was currently 380 gigabytes.
Yep.
I want to give these guys now 450 gigabytes. I can click OK. Whoa. Let's try that again. Let's give them 400 gigabytes this time. And instantly, that's now extended.
Oh, man, this leaps and bounds above disk management for what you had in Service Designator 2,
absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely. So this gives you a whole heap of flexibility in the way that you build storage infrastructure.
Now, you foreshadowed a little bit about Hyper-V in there, because talking about the Hyper-V guys, because obviously VHD files and disks take up a lot of space for the different running machines. What's changed in the storage side for virtualization for running your VMs?
It's a really great question, and you saw that when I went Hyper-V SMB Share. Now, storage spaces is really important to us, or storage is really important to us, because now things like Hyper-V and SQL Server can now use SMB shares for their data stores.
Oh, okay.
So you don't need direct attached storage, or you don't need high performance networking between your storage. We've now built all the performant capability and resiliency into SMB to be able to support those.
Okay.
So you can now use simple file shares to support your VHD infrastructure.
And it's an easy process to go off and to move machines from one to another location, that sort of stuff, because the storage is virtualized?
Absolutely. Let me show you that, actually. So here's my Hyper-V environment. And what you can see here is I've got a number of Hyper-V servers. In fact, let's go and create a new one. And we'll create a new virtual machine. And we'll just keep some of the defaults here.
Yep.
Instead of creating the virtual hard disk to a direct attached storage, I can now create that to an SMB share. So we'll hit the enter button here. And you can see here, it's
SMB
an SMB
share yeah.
a VHD folder. I'm going to select that folder. And now my location is an SMB share.
Okay.
Great. Well, one of the great things we can now do with SMB is we've got a lot more flexibility with live migration.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, here I've got a virtual machine which is has its VHD files stored on an SMB share. So
okay.
You can see here, it's a little bit in gray, but you can see here it's not a direct attached storage,
right.
Like a C drive or a D drive. It's actually an SMB share. Now with that, I've got a lot of flexibility. Now with live migration in our current version of Windows Server, you could live migrate in a cluster from one node to another. Well, now you can live migrate outside of a cluster.
Mm-hmm.
So I can live migrate with SMB storage. So I have that VHD file sitting in SMB storage. All I have to do is to move that is use the new move server wizard. Now I've got a number of choices here. I can migrate the virtual machine. I can also migrate the virtual machine storage. So we have storage live migration.
Oh, okay.
Now a virtual machine is made up of two parts. It's the processor, like the memory and
yep.
the runtime, and the storage. And I've got complete flexibility where and how I migrate those. So in this case, I'm just going to move the virtual machine. I'm going to move it over to a server in my environment. And I'm only going to move the virtual machine, leave the storage in the shed, and just move the runtime from one server to another.
Oh, okay.
And this is live migration. So as this is moving, my users aren't affected, my applications aren't affected. I'm performing the move, and this move will actually happen quite fast. So it's basically doing a transfer of the memory across the wire. So you can see that's gone. It's over
mm-hmm.
there. If I go and look at that server, it's now available on that server. So there's some really good things there, but we didn't stop there with live migration.
I would say that's kind of the same stuff you can do right now with live migration. You're basically moving the processes and the memory, but your storage is still there.
But my storage is still
right.
there. So even though it's outside of a cluster, it's still using shared storage.
Yeah.
So we've now got new live migration, which we call shared nothing live migration.
Okay, okay.
So the concept here is what happens if I've got a virtual machine with nothing but direct attached storage? So it's not connected to any shared storage, and
mm-hmm.
I want to migrate that to a cluster, or I want to migrate from a cluster out to a single node, or between nodes, or between my organization and the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
How can I do that with just direct attached storage? So we have this new concept, again, called shared nothing live migration, where I can just basically move that. So I'm going to move the virtual machine, choose the destination.
Same way as wizard interface, basically.
Exactly. And then,
yeah.
then I'm going to look at different parts of that. So I can actually determine where I want to move the virtual machine components to.
Mm-hmm.
Or in this case, I can actually go down and move parts of the virtual machine to different locations.
so you're completely splitting stuff up.
Absolutely.
It really is virtualized. It's
so
abstracted.
I can, if I've got multiple VHD drives, I can move them to different locations. Maybe I've got a boot drive. I'm going to move that to a simple storage server, but my SQL database, I want to move to high performance
yep.
while I'm doing a bit of maintenance on the machines they're working on, I can do that. So I can move these to different servers. Hyper-V doesn't care. It's going
mm-hmm.
to take control of those, be able to track all those. So in this case, all I'm going to do is go back and say, look, let's move the virtual machine's data automatically. I know that the destination server has the configuration set up. I'm just going to move the data automatically. Click on next. You can see here it's going to move all the snapshots, the smart paging, configuration files, and the VHD file with no downtime, no end user interruption. So effectively, why this move's happening, and this is a big file. This could be 8 gigabytes, 11 gigabyte
yeah,
file.
Yeah, it's the main OS disk and
exactly.
data disk. Yeah.
So I'm moving this just over Ethernet cable, why this machine is running. So effectively, we are active why this is running, and this could be taking minutes, it could take an hour to move
mm-hmm.
this type of stuff. So shared nothing live migration just really provides you the ultimate flexibility, and effectively live migration provides the ultimate flexibility.
With everything we covered so far, storage spaces, thin provisioning, and then also the abstraction of storage with the demonstration going on with virtualization with Hyper-V. What else can you possibly bring into the conversation that we don't have enough time to keep on going?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's just hundreds of new features. But I would say that, you know, our customers need to be looking at the new multi-server management features,
yep.
PowerShell. I mean, PowerShell 3.0 is just phenomenal. We went from 230 commandlets into R2 to over 2,300 mm-hmm. in Windows Server 2012.
You got it.
And that's a 10 times increase. And we've introduced a new environment called the integrated scripting environment to make it a lot more easier for our customers to be utilizing PowerShell. So all of our commandlets there, all the parameters are there, including IntelliSense. So it just makes things so much easier.
So everyone can go right now and try this today by going off and downloading a copy of the beta of Windows Server 8, because
yes.
It was called 8 back then with the air quotes around 8. And they also are able to go off and to set up and try off storage spaces and virtualization of the storage and everything else that goes with it you saw here today.
Absolutely. And the best thing also is today, this afternoon, we're launching all the hands-on labs online as well.
Oh, good.
So they'll be able to go out to the Windows Server 2012 TechNet site, and you'll be able to link into our current set of hands-on labs and experience a lot of this features and functionality for themselves.
Oh, great stuff. I'll make sure to include that link in the post that goes with it.
Fantastic.
Thanks a lot for taking the time. I know you got a session lined up coming up very, very soon. Got to get your demos all straight, so I'll let you go. Thanks a lot, man.
Awesome. Thanks, Rick.
Cheers.